Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
We are in a series called Inside Out, and we're talking about having healthy hearts and minds and what God wants to do inside of us so that our hearts and minds are healthy. And today we are going to be talking about specifically the heart. And so the title of the message is The Heart Matters. Okay, the heart matters. Can you guys say, my heart, above all else, guard your heart? I like the Message translation because it says this: keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. The main line for today is guard your heart. Above all else, you've got to keep watch over your heart. And vigilance, that translation in the ESV that says keep your heart with all vigilance. Vigilant, if you're vigilant about something, you are keeping a close watch on it. It's not a one-time thing. It is again and again and again, all right? So if I'm being vigilant about hydrating, it's like all throughout the day I keep drinking my water, my Gatorade, okay? I'm vigilant about it. In certain seasons, we can be vigilant about maybe making sure our kids get their homework done. I'm vigilant about it. Every day I'm checking. I could be vigilant about going to the gym. You could be vigilant about all sorts of things. But when you're vigilant, you are very focused on it. It is a priority, and you keep going back to it. You keep going back to it. So what Scripture is saying is that we have to be very intentional. We used that word last week, right? We're talking about our minds as well. We have to be really intentional about guarding our heart, keeping an eye on our heart, for from it flow the springs of life. There's so much potential. It's I mean, it's our life, right? As long as our heart's beating, we're alive, right? So it's the source of life for us. And so we want to keep our heart healthy, right? I mean, there's so many things about heart health here in the United States, right? And what's bad for our hearts and what's good for our hearts. You want your heart to be strong. You want your heart to be good, because if your heart's not good, the rest of your body will not function, right? Spoiler alert, we need a good heart, okay? And if you've got heart issues, it's going to slow you down, and everything else about your life is going to be incredibly difficult. We don't even think about it as long as it's working right. You know, I take it for granted. It's just like breathing. I don't even think about it, right? But if there's a problem with your heart, it's felt all throughout your body. And the same is true, I think, with our spiritual lives and following Jesus, that our heart, not just our physical heart, but the our soul, really, our heart needs to be healthy before the Lord. And if it is not, there's going to be a lot of problems that we have, okay? So we have, you know, I don't know, we have a heart problem. I think that that's important to acknowledge, okay? So we're not all, as human beings, just born with healthy hearts, right? Like, our physical body, that's the normal, right? Healthy heart. Okay, cool. Little babies, kids. Okay, that's what we're expecting, a good, healthy heart. That's good. But our spiritual self does not start out with a good heart. That is the reason why we need Jesus. That's the reason why we need a Savior, right? In the book of Jeremiah, it actually says that the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. From the heart comes theft, murder, lust, greed. And so I'm just going to tell you that the world says, listen to your heart. Follow your heart. And I will tell you that your heart is likely, if it's not fully surrendered to the Lord, your heart is likely to lead you all sorts of places that will not end up good. All right? So I don't know about you, if you've ever followed your heart somewhere that led you somewhere really bad. You're following your heart. I think that this scripture here is to remind us that actually our hearts have to come under surrender and submission to the Lordship of Jesus. Otherwise, following our heart is not a good thing, because default heart, spiritual condition, is that our hearts are self-centered. Our hearts look at the temporary. Our hearts are, yeah, very greedy. Our hearts are, I don't know. For me, like, the biggest one is that our hearts are kind of selfish, I think. I feel like my heart is very selfish. There's other things that, you know, different ones of us kind of maybe would say we struggle with more than others, right? We're all different. But for me, I would say that my heart is naturally very selfish. And I could just think about me in every situation very easily. And it requires coming under the submission of the Lord to say, God, I want to honor you, and I want my heart to be surrendered to you. That's where I'm able to actually see good stuff flow out of my life, right? It says, so keep vigilant, watch over your heart, be careful, watch your heart, for from it flow springs of life. Good stuff flows out of a heart that is healthy, a heart that's surrendered to God, a heart that is submitted to him and allowing him to soften us and shape us, change us. All right. I like David. You guys know David in the Bible was a shepherd boy who became king of Israel. Big deal, right? But he starts out as a shepherd boy. And David is someone that's talked about a lot in the Bible because he was a man after God's own heart. Of course, he's very famous for the sin that he committed later in his life, the adultery, but then the fact that once again he turned his heart back toward God, right? And he allowed God to heal him. And so he's a great example. He actually gives us over half of the Psalms, right, in the Bible. He's written a lot of the book of Psalms, which, you know, that's where we find so many of our worship songs that we sing to the Lord. But David is a shepherd, a warrior, a king, a poet. He's all these things. He has it all. But God chose him because of his heart. That's what set David apart. In Acts 13:22, it says, and when he had removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do my will. He says, I found a guy that's after my heart. God cares about the quality and the condition of your heart. God cares about it. It's important to him. He cares about it. And I think that one of the big things when we're caring about our heart is that we have to recognize that the interior, the inside of us, is more important than the exterior, the outside. Okay, so in the case of David, when he was selected, you know, anointed as king, you know, he was like, Samuel comes to this guy Jesse's house, and he's saying, let me see your sons, you know, because I'm going to be anointing the next king of Israel, okay? And he sees all these sons. The way that the Bible describes it, it sounds like these guys are all, like, amazing. They're, like, tall and strong men, and they're good-looking, and they're just, like, awesome. And so Jesse's like, look, here's all my great sons. I'm so proud to show you. Almost like I think of The Bachelor. You know, it's like there's all the row of guys, and it's like they're all great. So it's like, you know, take your pick, right? And Samuel goes, no, 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 that's not it. None of these are it. He says, do you have any other sons? And Jesse's like, well, I mean, I have this one kid, you know, the shepherd boy David. So he brings him out, and Samuel says, that's the one that God is anointing to be the next king of Israel. That's the one. But he did not look the part of a king. You know, I mean, let's be real. I mean, we think about this when it comes to, we just had a presidential election, right? People look for a strong leader, you know, somebody that's really powerful. And I don't know why, but there's this thing where we have this idea of what we want. And God said, you know, I want that kid. You know, a lot of people discount that kid. He's a shepherd boy. I mean, that's not very impressive. And so I want to encourage you today, stop trying to impress people and start trying to please God. Because people look at the outside. God looks at the inside. All right? So just as a starting point, let's work on the inside of us. Let's start trying to please God. All right? Scripture says, it says it very clearly, 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. Oh, I like that one because I'm short, 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 and I've been overlooked plenty of times on the, like, on the basketball court. Whenever he was playing basketball, they're like, not her, not her, I'm not going to pick her because she's the short one. Okay, he says, do not consider his appearance or his height. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Other translations I like say, the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. So that's why, again, we ask God, Lord, would you give me eyes to see things the way that you see it? My situation, my circumstance, even me, Lord, would you give me eyes to see me the way you see me? Because other people are looking at me and making judgments about me or criticizing me or whatever the case may be. They're looking at me based on what they see on the outside. I know that this happens to probably everybody. I bet in this room, everybody has been misjudged in some way for something about the way that you look, something about the way what you're wearing, or whatever, good or bad, right? Good or bad, we manage to get judged somehow. Like, it really doesn't matter. People find a way, and I will be the first to admit that I've been guilty of it too, where I look at people, and based on something that I see on the outside, I make a judgment about them. I assume something about them. And like I said, good or bad, right? Good or bad. Sometimes I've wrongly trusted people based on outward appearance when I didn't even have a conversation with them. So it can go either way. Our culture spends so much time and money on outward appearance. Am I right? I mean, and it's on, like, the commercials for TV constantly, right? All the things that you need to fix your problems. What's wrong with you on the outside? You know, the blemishes and the hair. I don't know. There's everything. There's, like, My hair lady says there's spray tans, eyelash extensions, hair extensions that you can get. You can get Botox. A lot of people get Botox in their faces on a regular basis now. You can get, I think eyebrow tattoos or something. Is that a thing? Does anybody know? That's a thing. Yeah. Like, there are so many things that we can do, and I'm not against. I love going to my hair salon. You guys know that. Like, I'm not against things in general like that. I like wearing makeup, if I'm being honest with you. I always have. Since I was, 5 years old, I started wearing makeup. I like it. I don't, you know, I'm just being honest with you. I don't think that God hates it for us to do something to our outward appearance. I don't think that at all. I think when my girls dress up in cute little dresses and feel beautiful, I think that's honoring to God. I do. But I think that if we spent half as much time and money considering the inside of us as we did the outside, that the world would be a much better place, that we would be much better people. And so we're going to ask God, even today as we're talking, would you be asking God, would you help me to prioritize what's going on in my heart? Would you allow me to even think about it? You know, sometimes I don't even think about what's going on with my heart. And recognizing where my heart is a little bit on the selfish side or not honoring to God. A great example for me of this was my little sister, Elizabeth Joy. So my mom had 6 pregnancies, but only 4 of us lived to be, you know, adults. So her 5th pregnancy was when she was about 7 months pregnant. She found out that there was something wrong with my sister's heart. It wasn't good. She was missing a valve. Her heart was enlarged. And nowadays, you know, 35 years later, they probably could have performed surgery on her because the technology, modern medicine is advanced enough that probably they would have been able to do something even while she was while my mom was still pregnant with her. They might have even been able to do surgery. But at that time, they said that she would need to live to be, I don't know, 3 to 6 months old before she could start having heart surgeries. And then it would be a life of surgeries after surgeries, you know. And so she actually, when she was born, I got to hold her, and I thought, this baby is perfect. She looked perfect. I mean, honestly, she looked just like me. She was like, not to brag, but I'm telling you, this, my real sister, my sister that you guys would probably know me for having, Grace, she doesn't look as much like me as this one. Elizabeth looked like me a lot. Same as my baby pictures. It was like looking in the mirror. I was like, oh my gosh, she had this dark hair and just the cutest little nose. And just, she looked perfect. You couldn't tell by looking at her on the outside that there was something terribly wrong on the inside, that her heart was such that she only lived for 24 hours. That was it. And what I learned from that was so clear, that visual. Just because it looks great on the outside doesn't mean that it's healthy on the inside. And so I just wonder, in a room like this, we all have probably something going on the inside of us with our heart. It could even be not that your heart is even selfish or plotting something bad towards somebody else. It could just simply be that your heart is really wounded, that your heart has been injured by a lot of people that haven't been good to you, that have not been careful with your heart, you know? And I believe that God cares about that too. And he wants to heal your heart. Because like I said, God really cares about the inside. So I want to encourage you, how much are you investing in your heart? Are you working on your heart? Because scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So one of the ways to check what's going on in your heart is to think about what it is that you're saying. What's coming out of you? Is it bitter? Is it envious? Is it, you name it. What's coming out of your mouth? And then that's a good check. For me, that's a good check of where my heart's at. Scripture says, I'm going to put a new heart in you. I'm going to put a new heart. Like, that's what God wants to do, is to give us a new heart. He will replace our heart of stone with a heart of flesh. So he will give us, in place of that hard heart, a soft heart. I don't know about you, but is there some areas where your heart has been hard? Hard toward people or situations, you know, like I said, things that have hurt us. God wants to soften our heart, because that is where life flows out. That's where good stuff comes out of our mouths and out of our lives, and that is where we really function as a human being the way that God intended. And so if you are, you could go to church every single Sunday for a year and not have anything better happen in your life if you don't consider your heart and ask God, like, God, would you work on my heart a little bit? And I, like I said, this is like, be vigilant, be committed to it, because there are things that will come up in your life where you will recognize, oh, I need to work on my heart. I say this all the time, and I will keep saying it all the time. When my sister, we found out that my sister was, you know, had this heart problem. My parents said they started crying, because I was like, I want to say I was about 8 years old, and I started singing, "Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me." And that song, it says, it's from Psalms, right? It's, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation." That's what the song says. "And renew a right spirit within me." That song is like, do a heart check. Because there's a situation that's very overwhelming to me. And my heart needs to stay soft before you. I want my heart to stay soft. I want my heart to stay clean. But this situation is not making it easy. How many of you would agree that there are things in your life that make it hard for your heart to stay soft and clean before the Lord? It is true. There's stuff that's not fair. There's stuff that's not just. There's, like I said, there's even our own stuff, because we need God to do an overhaul in our hearts. And I believe that even though we give our lives to Jesus, and he gives us a new heart, I think that we need to continue to allow him to reshape our hearts. I think that that's a work that he continues in us as long as we're here on earth. I want to encourage you with one more thing, all right? And then we're gonna close, okay? And this has to do with David and his anointing. I think this is very interesting, and I think that God wants us to just kind of think about this. There was a gap between David's anointing and his appointment. So David, the shepherd boy, has Samuel say, "You are anointed. You are set apart." You know, it says in 1 Samuel 16:13, Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed him, David, with his brothers standing around watching. The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. God just like swept in. And here's the thing, though. David spends 15 years, I believe it was close to 15 years, from that anointing moment until when he ends up actually being king of Israel. Do you know David went through a lot of stuff after that? Do you know people came against him and tried to distract him. I mean, it was this whole emotional roller coaster with King Saul and what he was doing, playing the harp for him. And, you know, he becomes a warrior, and then and everybody's like, wow, you're amazing. And he kills Goliath. It's like, whoa, you're so cool. And then he gets rejected. He ends up running for his life, right? Saul's trying to chase him down to kill him. I mean, the guy goes through a lot. And so it's just really important for us to notice that there were years between that moment where the Holy Spirit met him and the Holy Spirit put some sort of a passion inside of him for the kingdom work that God was going to do in him. Like, that happened, but then before he was really released into that appointment, there's a lot of years that passed by. So I think that God wants to encourage us also to not be discouraged if everything that God has kind of put within you, you haven't seen it fully expressed in your life yet. Because God is still working on you. It doesn't matter whether you are 9 years old or 90 years old or anywhere in between. Like, as long as we are here on this planet Earth, God is still wanting to work in us. So let's be intentional about it. Let's care about our hearts. Your heart matters. My heart matters. The position and the attitude of our hearts, it matters to God. So if it matters to him, it should matter to us. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.